Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil, and also we're going to be doing the parasha. It's actually a bigger connection to last week's parasha, going into this week's parasha. But before we get into that, we've been discussing the comparison of the great woman or the great person in general to a penina, to a pearl. We've drawn a number of comparisons. Number one, we spoke about that the value and the beauty of the pearl happens only through challenges, only through difficulty is the beauty and the value of the pearl created. So we spend time on that. We spend time on the comparison to the pearl in that it doesn't happen right away. The making of a pearl could take months and maybe even years. Spoke about savlanut, about realizing that growth in this world, Hashem made it that you never see it. It was done by design. You never see a flower growing in front of your eyes. You never see a fruit coming out in front of your eyes. You never see a person get taller. Growth is not something you're able to see. Obviously, you know it happened. You went to sleep at night and you woke up in the morning and there it is, a new flower. So we know it's there. But the way Hashem created the world by design is that growth will be cut off from the person's eyes. It is that way in all kinds of growth. And the simple reason for that is that if a person would see growth, if they would do something and they would realize how much they grew from that shiur that they went through, from that tefillah that they prayed, from that mitzvah, from that tzedakah they gave, if a person would realize the impact of what they're doing moment to moment, day to day, they would feel such satisfaction, it would be a no-brainer to continue. So Hashem, in order to give mankind, to give us free choice in the world of growth, He doesn't allow us to feel the impact of the growth as it happens. So that a person may actually say, you know, what's my learning doing? I've been praying every day. What is that doing for me? What is this mitzvah doing for me? I don't feel the benefits. I don't see a difference. A person can actually do that and say that. And now he has to decide, even though he doesn't feel anything, if he's still going to do the right thing. This way, there's free choice. If a person would realize, if a person would feel the growth that happens at every step, in every act, make no mistake about it. Every time a person does something that is correct, something that is spiritual, there is a tremendous impact. If you would feel the impact, you would never not do it. You would never think not to do it. That's why Hashem made growth, that you will not ever feel growth as it happens. Sometimes you get inspired, that you could feel. But to feel the actual change in the person, it's not visible to the person. Of course, if you check in a year later, after doing something for a year, you look at yourself and you say, well, I wasn't this guy a year ago. If you could remember, well, you remember you didn't see yourself a year ago like that. Mm. Of course, you will, just like when you woke up and you saw the flower there, you realize it's there. But as it happens, you don't see it. That, by the way, explains a celebration that we make that is unlike other celebrations in Judaism. You know, in Judaism, we make certain celebrations for specific mitzvot. Not every time we do a mitzvah do we make a party. But there are certain mitzvot that I guess are so special that we make sure to make a seuda, to make a celebration around that mitzvah. Music sometimes, dancing. When you take the mitzvah of lulav, we don't make a party. Most mitzvot that we do, we don't make a party. But there are some that we do. And the question is there any common denominator that makes these mitzvot special and reason to celebrate? So we know we have a brit milah, the mitzvah of a brit milah. Of course, the party by a brit milah is not because the couple had a baby. It's not a baby party. People think, oh, you had a baby, we're going to go to a party. The milah celebration is because you're doing the mitzvah of brit milah. Oh, you do the mitzvah of brit milah, make a party. Fidyon aven, another mitzvah, party. Bar mitzvah. Ah, now you're doing your first mitzvah. The first mitzvah that a 13-year-old does is Shema Yisrael. Arbit, the night of his 13th birthday. That's when he became the first mitzvah. He says, Shema Yisrael. Oh, you're doing your first mitzvah. Party. A wedding. Getting married. Yotzer Ha'adam. Hashem is putting together the complete person. The two parts that were single. Now found each other. Now they won. Make a party. Those are the mitzvot that we see that parties are attached to them. Seuda is attached to them. We have one more. When a person makes a siyum on a masechet, gemara, mishnayot, or different types of siyumim, you will see a seudat mitzvah. Sometimes they make music and dancing, party, which is unusual. You have to know it's unusual. And I'll tell you why it's unusual. Because if you look at all the other celebrations, you will see one common denominator. A brit milah, lehachniso bibrito shel Avraham Avinu. Here's a boy that's born. And now, on the eighth day, the Brit Milah is the covenant that we have with Hashem, that we are the children of Abraham Avinu, and we have a mission in life, and we're unique, and we have a responsibility. That's all and more included in this Brit Milah. So we say a beracha, the father says, Lehachniso, I'm about to enter this boy into the Berit of Avraham Avinu. In other words, he's now starting his Jewish life. His first mitzvah. That's going to open up the gates to a life of mitzvot. Okay, beginning. Celebration. Pidyon HaBen. You have a boy who has the kedusha of a Bechor. He has the holiness of a firstborn, but is unable to perform the service of a Bechor because it was given to the Kohanim. So he's stuck. He has a responsibility, we'll call it, but he's unable to fulfill it. So he's stuck. So we have to redeem him so he can fulfill his mission that he can fulfill. Because as is, he can't do what he's supposed to do. So
We relieve him of the kedusha of the bechor by doing the pidyon haben, and now he's free to live a life that he is able to actually fulfill his mission. A bar mitzvah, obviously, is the beginning of a life of responsibility, a life of mitzvot. A marriage is obviously celebrating the beginning, a beginning of a family, a beginning of a home. So notice all the things that we celebrate have to do with the beginning of something. They're not just big mitzvot. You don't just celebrate a mitzvah. We should celebrate every mitzvah, but I guess we have to have parameters, otherwise we'd be eating and dancing all day long. So the parameters are, when there is a mitzvah that begins something in the future, something great coming from it as well, celebration. Siyum is odd, because Siyum is not celebrating the future. Siyum is celebrating the past.
Yeah.
Siyum is saying, oh, I finished a masechet. I'm done with masechet berachot. I finished masechet kiddushin. Okay. Since when do we celebrate the past? Our celebrations are all about the future. So I don't know if this is a real question. I didn't see the question asked in the books. Maybe it is. I just didn't see it. And I'm not sure it's a real question. Maybe we should celebrate the past. But if the other examples I gave you are a rule that it's about the future, so then it would be a question. Why is it that in the siyum, we come to celebrate something that already happened? Is it different than the other celebrations? Or maybe it is in line. So the truth is, in the siyum, we say a famous word, or a couple of words. We tell the masechet, sounds a little odd, but we speak to the masechet and we say, Hadrach Alan. There is a literal translation of Hadrach means, come back to us. But also the word Hadrach is from the word Hadar. Hadar means beauty. Hadrach, your beauty, Alan, is on us. What does that mean, your beauty? You're talking to the Masechet, you're talking to the book, and you're telling him, your beauty is on me. The answer is that the person who learned a Masechet, if you really learned it, I can't speak for everybody who just reads through a few pages of Gemara. But if you really learned the Masechet and you dedicated yourself to understand it the best way you can and committed to the times, if you learned the Masechet from beginning to end, by the end of the Masechet, you are a new person going forward. You're not the same person you were when you started. We're not celebrating the past by a siyum. We're celebrating the new you that was created through the Masechet. You're a different person today than you were when you started. You now have Hadrach Alan. You now have a new beauty to you. You're a better husband. You're a better father. You're a better friend. You're more calm. You're more satisfied. You're more wise. You make better decisions. On and on and on. Somehow the Masechet has reached into every pocket of your life and things are different. Ah, that's a reason to celebrate. It's like a new beginning of your life. You never were like this before. You're now living on a new level. That's a reason to celebrate, which is in line with all the other celebrations. Savlanut. is what's needed to make a great accomplishment or a great person in this world. You need to move forward. You need to carry the project. You need to carry the commitment. Even if you don't feel the full effect and the full satisfaction, be sure, be confident that the flower is coming out, even though you don't see it with your eyes. It's happening. It's growing. When did the flower come out? It's been coming out for weeks. You didn't see it, that's all. In the end, it comes out. Oh, here it is. That's how growth is. Sablanut. Keep going. Keep going. Continue doing what you're supposed to be doing and see the beautiful flowers that grow in your life. All of the mitzvot that Hashem gave us are there to create a great person. Whether it's tefillah every day, coming to pray with a minyan every day. A person might come a day, a week, a month. Say, okay, what is it doing for me? I don't know. What is it doing? I mean, I like praying at home. I don't pray altogether. Oh. What am I getting from this? I don't feel it. But you know what? You come for a year. A year later, you'll feel it. You'll understand. If you saw before and after pictures, you'll understand. You're not the same person. Cannot be the same person if you decided you're going to start praying with a minyan every day. You're not the same person. If you come to learn also, you're not the same person. That's the way growth happens. Savlanut. To create a pearl, you need time. And then you'll see something very beautiful. But there's another aspect to the comparison of the Eshet Hayil to the Perf, the great person, the great woman, or the great man. And that is that the pearl is created under the water in the oceans, inside the oyster. It is hidden from the hidden. It's nowhere to be found. If you wanted to find the pearl, you wouldn't be able to see it anywhere in the open world. The pearl and its value being created in a closed, hidden area is not a mistake that just happened to be. It is a rule in life that greatness happens in hidden places. It's very different than what meets the eye. Normally, we imagine that the success of a person is how much he's noticed on the outside. Whether it's their clothing, whether it's their loudness, whether it's their external possessions, whether it's their social status in public, the amount of people that are crowding around them. Usually in the world we live in, because we live in the physical world, nobody could be blamed for that. Who can blame a young man, a young lady, who think that success in life is based on external productions? The more you're able to show externally, obviously that means you've become successful in this world. So nobody could blame anyone for thinking that. That's what the normal eye would see. But that's why you need wisdom. Because wisdom tells you that it's the opposite. That great things and great people and great accomplishments in general are actually specifically created in the most hidden areas. In fact, the more hidden, the more special. The more hidden, the more holy. The more hidden, the more sameach, the more simcha there is. So, where do we find that in the parasha that we're reading? So in our parasha, Parashat Naso, we are discussing the job of those who carry the Mishkan, when the Mishkan moved from place to place. When they moved, they had to take down the building of the Mishkan. They had to take all the vessels of the Mishkan, all the articles of the Mishkan, and they had to move them. So there were people that were in charge of moving. Not everyone had the same job. So the Torah tells us. Zot avodat mishpehot ha-gershoni. Beginning of the parasha. This is the job of the family of Gereshon. La'avod, to work, ulmasa, and to carry. What did they carry? V'nase'u et yeri'ot ha-mishkan. They carried the covering of the Mishkan, ve'et ohel mo'ed, and the tent of the meeting, mechsehu, its cover, u'mechseh ha-tahash asher alav, and the cover on top of it, ve'et masach petach ohel mo'ed, and the curtain that separated in the ohel mo'ed. Fine, that's what they carried. And then it lists all the different families and what they carried. But we have to go back to last week's parasha to see something that is very relevant to us in our class today. At the end of last week's parasha, where it begins talking about the jobs, it talks about the most important job of carrying. The job of Bnei Kehat, the family of Kehat, they carried all the holy items. The holiest vessels in the Mishkan were given to the family of Kehat. But notice here, comes the Torah at the end of Parashat Bamidbar. It says, Uba Aharon Ubanav, Aharon and his sons, they came, bin soa amahane, when they're ready to move. It says, vehoridu, and they brought down et parochet amasach. The parochet was the curtain that led to the Holy of Holies. They took the curtain down. Vechisuba et aron ha'edut, and they covered with the curtain the aron, the holy aron, where they had the tablets and the Torah inside. Venatnu alav, and then on top of the covering of the parochet, they put another covering, kesui or tahash, from a leather material. They covered that. Uparsu beget kelil techelet. Then they took a cloth with the color techelet, the color of the sky, and they put on that milmala. And then it talks about all the holy vessels, how Aharon and his children would take them and they would cover them. That was the end of last week's parasha. Every article of holiness was covered. And the end, the last pasuk of last week's parasha, if you want to see it, Hashem warns Moshe and Aharon, Al tachritu et shevet mishpehot ha-kehati. Be careful, don't cause these people who are carrying the holy articles to die. Be careful. Why would they die? What are they doing? Les pasuk, ve'lo yavo'u lir'ot. Make sure they're not present, so they don't see. Kebala et hakodesh. Bala means to swallow. Here it means to cover. Make sure they don't get a peek of the holy vessels being covered. Lo yavou lirot. Not even a snapshot. Covered. Because then vametu. Then they will die. Why is it that they will die if they will see the Aron uncovered or the Shulchan uncovered? Why? What does the covering do? This was not for moving purposes. Like when the moving truck comes, they have to cover things. They don't get damaged. If it was for that reason, that's what I thought. I thought they're going to cover them. This way they don't get damaged. That's what you could have thought. They need to cover them so they don't get damaged. But here it's giving you a whole new understanding. He says, no, if they're not covered and people are looking at them, then that will be reason why those people looking at them will die. Why will they die? What are they doing? If I see the Aron, what happens to me? And the answer is, at least the simple answer is, that that's what makes holiness. Something holy, something special, has to be hidden. If it's exposed, you're ruining its holiness. You're guilty of taking something that is a very high level of Kiddusha, something very elevated, and by looking at it, what did I do? I didn't look at it negatively. I didn't talk about it. What did I do? No. You didn't do anything except that you looked at it. You already belittled its value. Could you imagine? How is it that by looking at something, I could belittle its value? The answer is, if you know the rule of life, you'll understand that when things are covered, it is there where they produce great value. That is the rule of life. The rule of life are things that are hidden are more valuable, more holy, more special. And when they become exposed, they're less holy and less valuable. When you do an act, when I do an act, if it's exposed, it's less valuable than when it's hidden. Fact. Anything done undercover is a greater value than things that are done exposed. By just looking at the Aron, you've already lowered its value. You've lowered its Kedusha because it's no longer covered. That is the end of last week's parasha. All the holy items, make sure they're covered and make sure nobody gets to see when they're being covered. Elevation specifically happens when things are not seen. The great people in life are produced undercover. What defines a person needs to be the things that nobody could see. That is what makes a special person. And that's what makes an Eshet Chayil. Yes, she's like the Penina. She's like the pearl. So how do I know if I'm like a pearl? If I'm an Eshet Chayil? Well, tell me. The things that you're proud of in life, the things that excite you, the things that you look forward to, the things that you would say, this is who I am, are they things that are open? Is it the clothing that you're wearing? Is it the home that you built? Is it the car that you're driving? Is it the vacation that you go on? Is it the friends that you hang out with? Is that what makes you you? Then you're very far from being a pearl. I hear you. You're not a bad person. I understand why you would have thought that. Because that's what the eye sees. But you're very far from being a pearl and an Eshet Chayil. If you tell me I'm defined by things that are hidden, like my character, that's hidden. Nobody can see that. I'm defined by my wisdom, hidden. Nobody can see that. I'm defined by what happens in my home, behind closed doors. I'm defined by the relationships in my home that nobody could see. Not the outside ones. If I'm defined by things that are hidden, then you know your value is very, very special. The more hidden a person is, of course, we can't live in hiding. because there are responsibilities that we have. And when those responsibilities come, we have to step out. And I imagine that even then you could be hidden. Because even when you're doing external, let's say I'm going to do an external mitzvah. I'm going to a wedding. It's a mitzvah, it's external. But also, what's going on inside of you? Why are you there? Are you there for the food? Are you there for the music? Are you there for social life? Or are you there to bring simcha to the hatan and to the kala? You're there to serve the Creator by giving respect and happiness to His children. Nobody could see that. Nobody could see why you're sitting at that chair. So even external mitzvot, there's a hidden element to it. And that's the most important part. I mean, it's not a secret. In a relationship, the most important part of the relationship is the part that's hidden. It's the feelings, it's the love, it's the compassion, hidden. The external is but some add-on. That is the main part. What's hidden is what counts. What's hidden is what makes value. And the minute things become unhidden when they don't need to become unhidden, or the person becomes external, already they devaluated themselves. That is the way of the world. That's why some explain, listen to this beautiful explanation, some explain, Eshet Hayil Mi Yimtza. Who can find an Eshet Hayil? If she's an Eshet Hayil, for sure you can't find her. Because she's hidden. There's no way to find her. Because her accomplishments are not out there. So if she's an Eshet Hayil, you're not going to know about it. That's what makes her an Eshet Hayil. Oh yeah, when after 120, when you look at what she built and you look at what she accomplished, oh, you'll see the Eshet Hayil. But to go see her now, to see the Eshet Hayil, say, oh, wow, look, this great woman. Mimsa, how are you going to find her? If you find her, it means she's not Eshet Hayil. Because the things that define a great woman are things that people don't know about. There are things that are happening behind closed doors. Things that are happening in her feelings. Things that are happening where nobody could see.
We're about to leak
yourself. Memes. Who's able to see that? Such a powerful concept to live life with. That's so opposite of the street. It's so opposite from what a human would automatically think as they're growing up. Where loudness, external show is the barometer of success. That's what they preach about in Hollywood and all of its branches. And comes our Torah and comes the real wisdom of life and says, you got it all backwards. You're focusing on the opposite. The more you hide, the better. Listen to these words. Zohar says that whoever does something in a hidden way, HaBeracha Shora Alav, automatically have a blessing with you. Just the fact that it's hidden already is a reason for Beracha to accompany what you're doing. It seems that Beracha doesn't really get attracted or connected to external things. Because beracha is something internal. Beracha is something that comes from the Creator who is hidden. In fact, the Zohar says that. Says the Zohar, Olifna, we learn, kucha berichu satim vegalia. That Hashem, it's deeper than I understand, but I'll just tell you the simple understanding. That Hashem is satim. Hashem is hidden. For the most part, he's hidden. Vegalia. He reveals himself in this physical world through his creations. But he himself, hidden. Says the Zohar, therefore, when you act in the hidden, that you're connected to him directly. The beracha that comes from Hashem can only come from the hidden, because he's hidden. When you're in the external, so that's not directly Hashem, that's through his creations. Beracha comes from things that are covered. That's why it says, Ma rav tuvecha asher tzafanta lire'echa. Says David HaMelech, Hashem, how great is the tov, how great is the goodness, asher tzafanta, that you hid to those who have fear of you. What do you mean Hashem hid? Hashem hides things? Where could Hashem hide something when he sees everything? Oh, Hazal say no. Let me tell you what safanta means. Safanta means shehamatzpinim ma'asehem. It's talking about the recipients of this tov. You know who gets this tov? Those who are themselves hidden. When you're hidden, you have access to the treasures of the Creator who's hidden. Marav tuvecha, says David HaMelech. People can't imagine the goodness that comes from hidden greatness. Just by being hidden, it's already a new level. Higid lecha Adam matov, says the Nabi. Let me tell you, Adam. You're an Adam. I know you don't understand. You're a Ben Adam, so I hear you. I know you think opposite. That's why he called us Adam. Higid lecha Adam matov. Let me tell you, Adam. Hatznei alechet. Im Elohecha. But you do good in life. Obviously, if you do the wrong things you do in life, you want to do in hiding. That's obvious. But the good things you do in life, hasnea. You don't have to be loud about it. Not everyone has to know. If they have to know, there's no choice. Okay, so they know. Can't live in hiding either. There's room to go to shul and pray with the minyan. Gotta do that. Can't hide in your basement. It's also not good. But even when you go to shul, there's a hidden part of your tefillah that nobody could see. Not everybody sitting in shul praying is a saint. What's going on inside of you? What are you thinking about? What are you imagining standing in front of you? There's hidden even in the open. Hasnei alechet. Adam matov. He's not coming to tell you what's righteous in the eyes of God. Matov. I'm coming to tell you what's good for you. Listen to me. What's good for you is hatsneya. As much as you can cover. In all areas of life. That's why it says in the Zohar, very interesting Zohar. Again, it's deeper than what we're going to say, but even the simple understanding is worthy. It's worth it.
Hey, hold on. So listen, you're in this?
The Zohar is commenting on the pasuk, Vayiyu Hayeh Sarah, famous pasuk. When Sarah Imenu passed away, the Torah counts her years. So it says, Me'ah Shana, 100 year. Aisrim Shana, 20 year. Ve'sheva Shanim, and 7 years. So the Zohar is a little bit taken aback by the use of the word Shana and Shanim. When it says 100, it says Shana. 100 is the biggest number. It says Shana, 1. 100 year. Aisrim, 20 Shana, year. Sheva, the 7, the lowest. Shanim, years. It says, oh, what is going on here? Says the Zohar, what a hidush. Listen to the Zohar. Man de'ihu za'il. The Torah wants to teach you, even through the numbers. When it's teaching you through numbers, it means it's a reality of life. Numbers don't have a choice. But when Hashem said, I'm going to teach you through numbers a reality, it means it's a reality of life. And you can't change it. Says the Zohar, Man de'ihu za'ir. Zohar says, here's the reality of this world. Even in numbers. The number that is small, ihurav, that's a big number. Wow. Man de'ihurav, and the number that's large, ihuzair, that's small. 100, 100 is big, top. Oh, shana, singular, shana, small. Psh, esrim, shana, relax. 100, 20, that's 100 billion, realize. Wow. 20 billion, nice. Oh, seven. Oh, shanim. Reality of life. The bigger you make yourself, the smaller you become. The smaller you make yourself, the bigger you become. Even in the world of numbers, it's like that. Such a chokhmah. Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Mayafu pe'amayich. How beautiful is the person who is pe'amayich. The word pe'amayich is referring to the legs. I mean the person who's moving forward in life. The person is growing, he's learning, he's giving, he's doing. He's not staying stagnant. Mayafu pe'amayich. How beautiful is the person who's moving forward every day in life. But listen how the pasuk ends. Mayafu pe'amayich ba'ne'alim. The word ne'alim is the shoe. How beautiful you are when you're going forward in life. But make sure you got your shoe covered, covering your legs. Because if you're going forward and it's exposed, you're not as beautiful. Mayafu pe'amayich. Your feet that are going forward, your accomplishments, your great, beautiful deeds that you're involved in, beautiful. Mayafu pe'amayich. But no, not yet. Your deeds aren't, they don't make you beautiful yet. Banalim. So long as they're hidden in the shoe, then they're yafu. It is then that they're beautiful. Without the na'alim, They're just pe'amayich, but they're not yafu. I once saw, you know, if you notice in every masechet, every gemara begins with daf bet, and it begins with a word on top of the page, the first word of the masechet. And they put that word in a box. It's very strange. We're used to it, so we don't even question it. Usually, you start a book, the first word is the first word on the lund. But for some reason, when it comes to the Masechtot in Shas, you open it up, you'll see that the first word is taken out of the first line, and it's given its own real estate by itself on top, same in the box. Why is the first word of the Masechet sitting in a box? Says the great Rebbe from Kutz. He says, to remind you as you're learning the Masechet, to remain closed in a box. Don't let your learning make you external. Make sure that your learning is accompanied with a cover. As much as possible, cover yourself. Don't learn loud. Doesn't mean you can't speak loud. But don't be loud. Don't be a loud person. Learn with your heart. Learn with the box around. That's how you're going to become great from this Masechet.
You're about to do pe'amayich. You're about to do go forward. But b'ne'alim,
make sure you got the right humility. You don't always have to be the guy in the shi'ur. You don't have to be the loudest person. You're not...
Even the angels, by the way, it says by the angels,
Shesh kenafayim, they have six wings. That's what it says in the Yeshayahu. Why would they need six wings? Usually you have two wings. One wing on the right, one on the left, and they fly. What do you need six wings for? So the Pasuk says, Shesh kenafayim le'han. Each one has six wings. Now again, the wings are to fly. That's what we think. Says the Pasuk, Bishtayim yechaseh fanav. He needs two wings to cover his face, whatever that means. Ubishtayim yechaseh raglav. He needs two wings to cover his legs. Ubishtayim yeofef. And two more to fly. So he needs two wings to fly and four wings to cover himself.
Well,
even the angel who is hidden from our eyes, I don't understand it fully, but I understand something. That you can't be an angel and exposed. In order for him to fly, he needs wings. Why? He has to be covered with wings. Why can't he be covered with drapes? Why do the wings have to cover him? So this is my own shot. Because in order for him to fly like an angel, he needs to be covered. The wings that cover him is the same wings that make him fly. You can't fly high in life if you don't have wings that cover you. Mayafu pe'amayich b'ne'alim. You need to have the ne'alim. You need to have the cover. And your zoche, the tremendous protection. The pasuk says in Iyov, listen to this pasuk. Legever asher darko nistara. Says the pasuk in Iyov, to a man that his derech, that his way of life is to cover when possible. Vayasech Eloah ba'ado, Hashem covers him too and protects him. There's a protection from the Creator to those who protect themselves from the outside. Now, that in itself alone is worthy of a person having second thoughts about what's really valuable and what's going to make them successful in life. It's a mindset. It's a shift in mindset. Nobody could blame anyone who thinks opposite. Like I said, you could be 80 years old and you've been thinking that way for 80 years, but it's wrong. It's simply wrong. It's not wrong on a religious level. It's just wrong in understanding the reality of life. Your understanding things wrong. Famous saying that says, "Bemakom she'en anashim," in a place when there are no people, "Hishtadel liyot ish," try to be somebody. Usually it means that if you're in a Bet Knesset, and nobody's stepping up to do something, so step up. You don't have to be the guy. You don't have to be the guy in shul. But if there's no people, if no one is stepping up, don't say, well, why me? No. Say, Hishkadel Yadish. Step up. But some learn it beautifully. It's not the simple explanation, but it's beautiful. Bimkom She'en Anashim. Specifically in places where there are no people, that's when you become an Ish. Specifically in a place that nobody could see. That's when you become a great person. In those areas, behind closed doors, behind the body, inside of you. Ishtadel liyot ish. And I'll end off with the words, En ha-beracha metzuya. Hazal tell us, beracha that we spoke about, that comes from the hidden creator. That beracha doesn't come. It comes from things that are hidden. Hidden is where you see beracha. It's a very tall order in our world. to expect that people should be able to find value in things that are hidden. And while we may not be able to fulfill every single way in every single part, and by the way, we do have to live externally. Like I said, you have to have a house, to drive a car. But a person needs to make an effort not to be loud. Don't be loud. Don't grab attention through things that are seen. That's not what you should be known for. That's what happened in this week's parasha, Parashat Naso. We see the leaders of Am Yisrael, they brought gifts at the inauguration of the Mishkan. And it's amazing that every day they brought the exact same thing. Each one, they came with the exact same gifts. How did it happen that each one came with the exact same gifts? And if they came with the exact same gifts, why does the Torah have to repeat it 12 times? Famous question. Tomorrow, we're going to sit here and we're going to be listening to the Torah and we're going to repeat the same thing again and again and again. And it's going to get a little boring. You could have just said it once and just say they all brought the same thing. The Ramban asked this question. One of the beautiful answers to this question is that after the first guy went, he had to be the first. So he made some noise probably. But he was no. There's no choice. He has to bring a gift. He brought a beautiful plate. He brought this. He brought that. Whatever he brought. Okay, gorgeous. Now, the next guy, after the first guy went, he has to go. In our world, what would the second guy do? After the first guy put a carpet in his wedding, what does the next guy do? He's got to put a double copper because the one the first guy put was too thin.
So you got to put a double carpet and extra drapes.
Double layer.
And the third guy says, okay, listen, they already put the drapes. They put the double cup. So now we're gonna put other things. By the time the 12th guy goes, he has to make a wedding on the moon. Because what else is he going to do differently? How else is he going to shine? How else is he going to show that he's special? Because in this world, the specialty comes from doing something extra externally. So the second leader has got a problem now. What's he going to do now? The first one brought what he brought. It was beautiful. Great. Now he's thinking, okay, I gotta show that I'm doing more. I gotta step up. And then he said to himself, wait a second. I don't want to be loud in my physical gift. I don't have to be louder than the first guy in my physical. But I'm unique. I bring to the table something that the first guy doesn't bring. Something from the inside. My intent, my purity, my whatever inside I come with, that's different than the first guy. He brought the same exact gifts, but they're not the same. Because the hidden part was different. And the Torah wrote it 12 times because they're not the same. They may outside not be loud, but inside there was newness in every unique person. We are unique. We are special. And we can make ourselves more special. Each guy did try to make more, but in the hidden area. To be loud on the outside is not a way that makes not beracha and not specialty. Eshet hayil mi yimtza. The great person, actually, it's hard to find them. Because they're like the pnina. Because they're very hidden away. And their development happens in a place that nobody could see. And that is the true, true way of beracha in life. The beracha is found in hiding. Again, obviously, it's not possible to live in the basement. That's not what we're talking about. But it means that our true values and our true measurement of success needs to be in the things that nobody could see. And on those things, we have to be proud and we have to work and we have to talk about in ourselves what's behind closed doors and what's behind our body. Have a wonderful day.